Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snubbed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
You're tuned to The Toolbox. Congratulations to Linda from Lancaster, the big winner of our St. Patrick's hat trick. Saturday night, she bested the competition in the Guinness Gauntlet, the Jameson Joust, and the Bailey's Blowout. At the end of the night, she showed us all her shepherd's pie. St. Patrick's hat trick, sponsored by the Ireland Board of Tourism. Ireland, we value good times over family.
I was on the ground when I needed a hand, then it couldn't be found. I was so far down that I couldn't get up. You know, and one day I was one of life's losers. Even my friend, my accusers, and in my head, I lost before I began. I had a dream, but it turned to dust. And what I thought was love, that must have been lust. I was living in style when the walls fell in. When I played my hand, I looked like a joker. Turn around, fate must have woke up. This lady luck, she was waiting outside the door.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Today, a round of totally topical TiVo trivia time, another round of March Gradness, and we'll check in with some callers about how their New Year's resolutions are going. With Gina Grad on news and Bolt Bryan on sound effects, and now, as a proud Chicano Studies graduate, his mom is really bummed that Valley College didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice we got on. Mandy, get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Even the phrase "tune in," it's like saying record.
Yeah.
Now there's no more tuning in. But thanks for sharing the show. We do appreciate that. And thanks to sponsors like Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. Save 20% off your first order. I had thoughts in the middle of the night about Tommy John last night. Mm. Also, Marcia Clark Investigates, the first 48 hours series premieres this Thursday, March 29th, 9 o'clock A&E. All right. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Above average dong.
So this...
There's one thing to be known for.
Two things. I eat ass.
This March Gradness thing has really captivated the nation.
Taking the world by storm.
Matt the Porcelain, Punisher, Fondelier in studio.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
We love Matt. Matt and I wrote a whole bunch of Oscar jokes. We thought we'd compile them and share them with you. And we did it for the first few days after the Oscars and then sort of got sidetracked. And then this morning I found the pile of Oscar papers that you had printed out and we'd stapled together.
And they look exactly in the same form in which they were given.
They are road wearing.
Mint condition.
They were rolling around in the car, and Mike drove home from the club last night, and he had his feet all up in them. And I think there was a little water leakage going on as well. So, but I retrieved them. I deemed them legible. And I thought we'd just stick with one category, and we can revisit some of the other categories as well. This was the category of when Jimmy went to the theater upstairs to surprise the viewers of A Wrinkle in Time.
Uh-huh.
He would take a handful of celebrities. He would go up there, and these were things that he would either say to the celebrities to get them to head with him over to the theater, like before they went to the theater, and then other things he would say when he got to the theater, and then other things specific celebrities could say or do with the people in the audience.
It did seem, though, when it actually aired, that once the celebs got into the theater, it was just pure pandemonium.
Oh, it was chaos.
Like, it was
fun.
All you heard were people screaming. Like,
hot dogs.
We had all these things for celebs to do. But yeah, I don't know if any of that actually. Oh, yeah, the right. Wiener hot gun, dog, right? The hot dog gun.
I didn't think they were going to actually be able to do vignettes or jokes, but.
Above average dong.
Sometimes, there you go. Sometimes when people say, oh, just write to this, you just write to
just
it, even
prepared.
If you don't. And sometimes they have, and I talk to people all the time where I just go, do this thing, and they go, yeah, I didn't know what you were thinking. And I go, I know. I'm not going to tell you what I'm thinking. Just do it. Because sometimes somebody has right. a different idea about what to do with your stuff. So your job is to write, not to ask questions. So this is pre-go-to-the-movie-theater.
Yeah, we'll start with jokes. Jimmy rounding up the crowd. For some of you, it's going to be a chance to mingle with your fans up close and personal. For others, it's going to be like visiting a children's hospital where none of the kids know who you are.
Yes, hold on a second. I've done the children's hospital thing more than once. It's the least rewarding thing you'll ever do. It's 5 and 6-year-olds that are stricken with horrible diseases, and you come walking through. There is no, hey, man show.
No.
Hey, Loveline.
No.
They weren't born.
You're not Mickey.
Yes, it doesn't.
You're no Disney princess.
Once in a while, one of the single mom's ex-husband was a fan of the man show, although he's in Florida now. But there's no such, it's not the kid running up to Mickey Mantle going, you know, could you hit a home run for me, Mick? They don't have no idea who you are because they're 6 and you've been off TV for 13 years.
Yeah,
so. The demo.
And as somebody who goes and reads at the Children's Hospital a lot, it's not Gina Grad from the Adam Carolla Show. It's the book reader lady.
That's right.
You should print out your picture of your character from Wreck-It Ralph and
just
wear it like a poster board.
Come on, man.
I should have thought of that. All right. Sorry. Continue.
So a lot of you celebrities are going to get a chance to hand out candy and sneak a hit off the vape pen. If it makes it easier, you can think of it as a gifting suite filled with poor people. I don't know what to expect, but if they're seeing a free sneak preview on Oscar night, that says to me that the audience is independent, adventurous, and unemployable. Michael B. Jordan, at some point, you break off, head to the theater next door where they're playing Black Panther, and you'll blow some minds. Timothy Chalamet, you go with Michael. Just tell everyone you're his publicist. You won't be bothered.
Nice delivery.
A Wrinkle in Time is only 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's not like we have to watch the movie. You're going to get a chance to rub shoulders with Joe Sixpack and press the flesh with the common man. Don't worry, there will be hand sanitizer provided at the door.
Hey, Max Pata, we wrote the, I think, Wrinkle in Time 40% on Rotten Tomatoes before it came, it had a score on Rotten Tomatoes. I do
I
believe, or we looked it up. Because I remember...
I'll pull the curtain back here.
The curtain back.
We wrote it. There wasn't a score at the time. We wrote 13%. And then when I was going back through compiling
these
jokes
for you.
He's looking out for you.
I was wondering how we got to
the score.
That's how we got to the score. Because I checked it. It was like 40, 22 with Top Gun. It's like, whoa, we were right on.
You
fixed it. Oh, okay.
Window of diligence.
Yes.
Ooh.
I like that.
All right. Let's see here. Wrinkle in Time is about 3 kids who travel through space after encountering a group of magical beings. Also, I hear it's an early front runner for Best Short Documentary. Oprah's got a ton of juice. Oprah, you just can't stop making money, can you? You may have had a supporting role in The Color Purple, but you're the star of The Color of Money. And so now we're now in the theater, and these are things that Jimmy would be saying while the celebrities are interacting with the crowd. These actors would like to thank you for making their careers possible. I, however, am pissed. I don't do movies. I do TV. And right now, the Oscars are on, which I'm hosting, and you're here. Seriously, what was the plan with watching the Oscars tonight? Please tell me you DVR'd it. Show of hands, who didn't DVR the Oscars? You, get out. I want you to go home and watch the rest of me.
He's selling it, man.
I was going to say, to make it a little more realistic, let's just have this go in the whole time.
Yeah.
A month from now, if any of you guys run into any of these celebrities at the airport and ask, do you remember me? You should know they won't. Hot tip for y'all. Mix the M&Ms with the popcorn. It's a cinematic speedball. And there's also some bits here that the celebrities would be doing. So Lin-Manuel hands an audience member one of those Chinese finger traps, shows the guy how to use it, and says, Oprah movies can get a little boring sometimes, so here's something to keep you occupied. Or Lin-Manuel sings a couple bars of Peter Cetera's Glory of Love from Karate Kid 2 to a lucky audience member. Armie Hammer gives a middle-aged woman a shoulder rub from the seat behind her. Margot Robbie says, first and foremost, thank you all for supporting us. But while you're here, can I just take a moment and tell you guys about some of the new and exciting products Herbalife has to offer? Viola Davis talks to a kid. Are you enjoying A Wrinkle in Time? You recognize this guy? She gestures to Gary Oldman. He plays Oprah in the movie you're watching. And finally, Oscar Isaac finds a 9-year-old and says, you may know me from Star Wars, but I'm sure you first became familiar with my work and Inside Llewyn Davis.
Matt Fondalier, everybody.
Killed it again.
Thanks, guys.
Delivering the mailman. Oh, mailman. Thank you, Matthew. All right, so...
Shea Fondalay. New podcast.
Shea Fondalay.
Watch your back, Kimmel.
Let's see. So I had an interesting insight into my psyche. If you observe yourself, you can get an idea as to how you're wired, like what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, what draws a reaction from you, which gets like no reaction from you. Like, I don't have any reaction to my kids in bad grades. I have no, like, I hear stories. They come home like, I failed math. I failed this.
Family and education.
Yeah, I have no thoughts about it. No thoughts.
Why would you?
Wow.
I need them to read and I need them to write.
Okay.
Reading and writing is, it's kind of weird because in a way, we don't put enough emphasis on that, even though we think we do. Like, hey, you got to spell, you got to read, you got to write. And then we move on to all these other subjects like history and sociology and science and math and different forms of math. But we should circle back to reading and writing. Like,
absolutely.
Not only – here's the thing about reading and writing. You should be a black belt in reading and writing, and you can be a yellow belt in trigonometry in terms of your life. You are going to want to be able to not only I'll circle back to all these thoughts, but what I'm saying is I don't care what my kids know about history, and especially, I mean, they can go find out about it. If they're interested in presidents who are dead or wars that happened 100 years ago, they may. And I hope they have a curiosity and pursue that. But I would like them to be able to compose something, whether it be a presentation in an office setting or a best man speech or something, and then be able to get up there and competently deliver it.
Yeah, not be
staring down at it the whole time, not have cotton mouth.
Lose their place.
Lose their place. Have that sort of healthy... reaction, that sort of healthy balance between looking down and addressing the audience. Like, these are things you're going to need later on in life, unless you just want to weld full time, in which case it's probably not going to come up too often. But even for that, you may have to say something when your daughter gets married, and you may have to go in front of the judge.
Right.
But either way, almost nobody's is good at that one thing, that thing of like, I'm going to compose something. Yeah. It's not going to be long and ambling and redundant and all that.
How to edit.
So I would like, in the reading and writing department, I'd also like my kid to be able to open a book to any page that my kid wasn't familiar with and read it in front of a group of people competently without stuttering or stammering or dragging their finger over it or whatever it is. Yeah. I would love them that. Now, with the other things, my son, he failed math, but he's very good at math. He's very good. He's fast as math. He does it. I do it with him all the time, but there's this Common Core thing where you have to show your work.
They have to do Common Core?
Yes, they have to do Common Core.
I don't get it. It looks so confusing.
It's just dumb. Well,
it's like real scenic route.
I don't care. As long as he can do it in his head.
Sure.
And when I'm walking with him and I go, what's 13 times 22? And he breaks it down. Then he'll go, well, 10 times 20 is 200. And then he'll break it down in his head and he'll give me the answer. I'll go, that's fine. Showing the work is okay, but I'd rather him be able to do it in real time than get. I don't want to have to get a cocktail napkin out every time he's trying to figure out the tip at the diner. I just want him to do it in his head. So he does it in his head. I've signed off on that. So I don't have like I don't have strong reactions to, like, when the kids fight or the kids wrestle, like when they roughhouse with each other. I'm always like, good, rough it up.
Like the doctor said.
Yeah. And
Professor.
Sonny will be sitting there going, I can't feel my arm. And Natalia's like beating on him and laughing.
Damn right you can't.
Lynette goes nuts. Sure. Like, Lynette's like, leave him alone. Get off him. I'm so annoyed. I can't think here. And I'm like, just let them get each other in headlocks. So whatever, she has something that speaks to her. When they roughhouse, I have nothing that speaks to me, Lynette. It doesn't push my buttons at all.
Right.
I can sit there calmly, like watch TV while these two go at it, and it makes no difference to me. It bugs the shit out of Lynette. That's her wiring. That's my wiring. And then there are other things that push my buttons, don't push her buttons.
It's a good balance.
So, I don't know.
One parent who cares and one who doesn't.
I would argue that it's probably good to figure out what your buttons are and kind of monitor them a little bit. But as far as the wiring goes, we were in Austin a few days back. We're standing sort of backstage at this event talking to John, the Waymo guy, about his vehicles and how it works. And the more I hear about the self-driving stuff, the more I'm into it. Also, the fact, as covered in the pod, but you guys weren't there, so I'll tell you about it. These cars are outfitted with cameras that see everything. They're not driven by satellite. They're driven by themselves, sure, by all these sensors and cameras. Think about the implications of all these vehicles driving around with these cameras that are spinning around, seeing 360 angles of everything that's going on the street all the time. Right. If a terrorist plants a bomb in a trash can, there's a very good chance that a self-driving car was passing by. If somebody's mugged or abducted or beaten, there's going to be one of these things going by. And for those who have the, like, kind of big brother-y thing, we're like, well, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, listen, when you're on city streets, don't lay your hands on other citizens and don't plant any pipe bombs, and you'll probably be all right.
It's good to be concerned.
I don't think there's a world where you're just walking down the street and you're talking on your phone and you should have been using your headset, because we also have film of you climbing into your car and you didn't use your headset. Now you're being rounded up and put in a gulag. I don't worry about that world. But it's too much. Let me tell you something about the government. In L.A., half the accidents are hit and run because it's an insane, alarming whatever, because we have so many illegals driving in the city who aren't licensed or don't have proof of insurance or whatever it is, that if they get into trouble by hitting your car or you hit their car, they have no choice but to flee. They don't want to hang around for Johnny Law. A lot of many people in Los Angeles, many, many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of drivers don't have car insurance, don't have registration, don't have any kind of documentation at all. When I was young, that was enough to get your car impounded. Mm. You would get pulled over. They would ask for your license or see that it was suspended or see whatever. It would get towed. I have three motorcycles towed. I got pulled off of motorcycles and got them towed. The motorcycle was fine. I just had a driver's license, which was fine, but I didn't have a motorcycle license. Right. That was enough to get my bike towed. Well, okay. Now, they don't tow cars anymore. Like the city of Los Angeles, when they pull over an illegal and there's no insurance and no registration, no proof of ownership and no anything, they don't tow the car. You want to know why?
Car's going to pile up and stay there forever.
Because that guy's not coming back for his $300 Nissan Sentra from 1982, right?
Cut your losses.
Right. All right. So how does the city work? Or how does the man work? The man needs money. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in it for the man to pull taxpayers off the street and throw them in the gulag. They want money. Like, ultimately, they want. So when there's this thing of like, well, what if the government gets hold of this information? And the next thing you know, they're rounding everybody up and stripping their rights away and throwing them in camps and stuff. It's like, no. All their roads lead toward money. The second the money. Mm-hmm. See, when I got pulled off my bike in 1985, that was money. That was, hey, you want to go get your bike back? It's $186 bucks.
You don't impound a vehicle for punitive reasons to teach a lesson. You impound it because this necessary thing must be retrieved for $500.
Well, maybe at the beginning you do it because you want to give some semblance of a society. Like, okay, you guys pay taxes. We have rules. We'll try to keep the drivers off the road, right, who don't have the licenses, who don't have insurance. So there is always the sort of veil of, oh, no, we're not in it for the money. We pull people over for speeding because speeding is dangerous and we don't want to see you get hurt out there. And you go, okay. But then that quickly devolves into, how is it dangerous when I'm in my Lexus 430 and I'm in the middle of a barren piece of highway on my way to Las Vegas and you're hiding behind a shrub, right, somewhere with a radar gun and you clock me at 81, but at 81, the car doesn't even feel like it's moving. Well, it becomes a money grab, and the coasting through the four-way stop sign becomes a money grab. But anyway.
And they can say, we can make this all go away if you pay the ticket.
Right. So everything sort of turns into money, and the reason we don't confiscate any illegal aliens' cars or documented guests or whatever we're calling them this week is because there's no money, and it's a hassle, and it piles up, and it's exactly the exact same thing I did with the post office. I built the house. I put a big gate in the front. I put like a mail slot in the gate, and a post office came around and they go, hey, you got to put a post office by mailbox in the front on the street that we can get to from the street. And I said, I don't want it in the street because people pull up at the stop sign. They'll just like reach over, open up, grab whatever's in my mailbox. I don't want to go on the other side of the gate. I pay enough in tax. Just push it through the slot. And they're like, no. Okay. We don't do that. And then I said, well, I'll tell you what. It's a weird Ruby Ridge like standoff, yeah, I got into. I said, I'm going to put a slot in my gate. And then the guy who's delivering the mail in the cart can get out of it and push it through the gate, or he can keep it. Because all the mail I need to know about goes to my money manager. He pays all the bills, everything that's worth looking at goes to him. The other stuff's all penny saver stuff.
You can only have so many Bed Bath & Beyond coupons.
Right. Right. That's what it is.
Well, for you.
So you guys can then hang on to it and just have a mountain of junk mail with my name on it, right, back at the post office, or you can get out of the truck and push it through the slot. Either way, like, I don't even really care. I'm really examining this thought and thinking, I like this no mail idea. Anything you want, here's the money manager, send it to him. Yeah. If it's a wedding invitation, he'll send it to me, he'll get it to me. Like, once every 2 weeks, just pick up a bag of, you know, Oscar screeners and stuff. So I said, fine, don't do it.
What'd they say?
They got out of their car and stuffed it through the gate because they don't want to. Right. They don't want a huge pile of mail, and LA doesn't want a huge pile of $200 cars that they can't get rid of, mm-hmm, that no one is claiming. Right. So anyway, where was I?
Sunny failed math.
Right.
All right.
I was wondering how we got here.
So Waymo was telling, John was telling me that they're going to have all these cars with all these cameras. And like I always said, like, good. I feel the same way about cameras as I do in the NFL. Like, hey, if your foot's out of bounds, it's out of bounds. We got a shot. If it's in bounds, it's good. I don't want the Super Bowl decided on a bad call where the guy's foot was out of bounds, but the ref called him inbounds. So it's fine.
And there may be people who have their privacy infringed upon a little bit with these cameras everywhere, but will that not be justified by the 5 or 10 kids that don't get abducted, or the abductions get solved very quickly, or hit and run, whatever, fill in the blank.
I would also argue that once you hit the street, your privacy,
you're giving that up.
And everyone's riding around. They got the the Ring doorbell camera and stuff like that. The ATM with cameras all over ATMs and stuff. You can be found.
There's no assumption of privacy anymore if you're on the street. And by the way, what you're talking about is a Black Mirror episode from this season.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Oh. Well, anyone.
How does it end?
Badly.
Anyone who's seen Fast and Furious 7 with God's eye knows how this technology works. Anyway. We're standing backstage, and I said to John, what are these things? He said, they're Chrysler minivans. That's what they're starting with. Because the door will open itself, you just step in the back. It's better, really, if you think about, you may not want to travel around. You may not want to pilot a Chrysler minivan your whole life.
Driven.
But if you're being driven somewhere and the door just opens, you step into this chamber and it shuts and you sit on a leather seat, that's probably the way you want to go.
Like a shuttle.
So I said, where are these things being retrofitted? And he said, at the Roush factory outside of Detroit in Michigan. I said, Roush. Roush is a super interesting dude.
Okay.
Roush builds race cars. Roush built all the he built cars for Willie T. Ribbs.
Was he in the dock?
Yes, he's a madman who loves engineering, flies airplanes, blah blah blah, and makes retrofits Mustangs. The Mustangs come out of Detroit, and then they go to his factory, and then he puts all the cool bits and pieces on them. So I said, Roush. I took a tour of the Roush factory outside of Detroit, and he said, yeah, that's where we're doing it. And I said, oh my God, that's so cool, because we went there about a year ago and we were taking a tour and we were looking at the Mustangs, and I can't believe I was there. But it was probably before you guys. I didn't see any of your vans there. And I got all excited for some reason. I didn't even see Roush. He wasn't even there. I just took a tour with a group of idiots through a big warehouse with a bunch of Mustangs in it. And I was all pumped up. And I said, we went and showed our doc at the Henry Ford Museum over there in Detroit. And then John from Waymo was like, oh, yeah, that's a great museum. And I was like, yeah, it was cool. We were coming in from, where were we coming in? We didn't fly into Detroit. We're coming back from somewhere. And we got to go to the Roush. We went to the Roush factory. Right. And then a warehouse. I was like, you know, where were we coming? I know I did a show. I think I did a show somewhere. And then we're like coming back. And then we stopped over. And it was bothering me. But I kept going, wait, maybe it was a corporate. I think I did a corporate gig, a show, a stand-up show. We did a live podcast. Where was I? Anyway, it was kind of bugging me, but I kept going back to, then I got to Detroit, and that's when we got to Roush. And I was all pumped up about Roush, and it kept bothering me, where I kept going, I don't know where I was, but then we came to Detroit and we saw a Roush factory, and then at a certain point it was bugging everybody.
Was it the Royal Oak show?
We were all thinking about it, and at a certain point Max Zapata said, what?
You were testifying before Congress.
Now, the way I'm wired, I blocked out the testify in front of Congress. I've blocked it out of my mind. Oh. I think other people may have put something up on their mantelpiece and made something of it. In my mind, it was blocked out.
Why? Because it's not part of your routine?
No, it can't. It's not a routine thing, because there are many things that have nothing to do with my routine.
Yeah,
that
I just mean like it had to be stand up. It had to be a podcast. You know, travel for shows.
Well, yeah, one would say that that's a decent answer. Like you'd go like, well, you don't. It's not on your menu.
Right.
But also, one would argue that when it was the spoke in front of Congress thing. It wasn't several years ago. It was like 9 months ago.
Feels like more recent than that.
Or maybe. We'll figure it out. The point is, it was fairly recently. I realized that my wiring and my family's wiring and my family's unrelenting quest to turn everything into nothing, like to turn the Oscars into, like literally, it's a zero. Like there's no... I've not spoke to anybody about it any time. Jimmy's a zero. The Oscars are zero. You working for the Oscars. Everything's a zero. Uh-huh. I have been infected with this and am subsequently turning things into zeros myself, like on my own time. Yes, Max Pata.
It was July.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
well, less than a year ago.
Yeah.
I could not summon what I was doing before I went to the Roush warehouse.
You remember everything about the Roush tour, though. You're naming off all the things at the Roush Museum.
That's funny.
Right, because anyone could do that. Like, that wasn't, you could have, they have tours. Anyone could sign up. You probably could have just walked in, like, to be honest. Like, you could have walked off Highway 7 and just walked into the Roush. It was just, wasn't guarded. He wasn't there. It was just a big empty space full of, like, stock Mustangs, you know, $28,000 cars that he was going to retrofit with superchargers. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't speaking in front of Congress, but it could not summon it.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's bad wiring.
It's an indicator.
It's an indicator, yeah. Right?
Your family reminds me of, like, I was thinking about like those like a great baseball bullpen, like when the Giants won those World Series. Like if life's having a rally, if something's going well, manager comes out. Just
that's right.
Like, here they come. Quash the rally.
Yep. Just shut it down.
Shut everything down.
Like Dennis Eckersley.
Get him out of the jam.
Yeah, it's interesting how it works, and then it worked. You then, at some point they just infect you with this, and then they die, and then you just you carry the gene yourself.
But you're not. I don't see you reacting to the kids that way. That everything they do is a zero.
I overcompensate with them on a daily basis, which is because it's free. I did it yesterday. I was somehow standing by the front door when they arrived, and I just do the, woo, look who's home. Like, all right, get in here. Like, this is awesome. And I just, why not? Yeah. Look, it puts a smile on their face. And then Phil comes trucking around the corner. I'm like, oh, Phil's pumped. He's pumped. His mommy and his daddy are home. And then he's like, oh, and then they buy into it. You know, they like it. Like, I always get the part about why you can't go out and have surf and turf every night because you just don't have the funds to do it. Never get why you won't be silly in front of your kids and throw your arms out and go like, hey, it's my number one son. All right. All right. Like I do that all the time. Like, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? They're kids. Let them think.
Let them feel special.
For the same reason. Okay, it is this. If you would like to know, I will give you all the answers to everything in 1 second. First,
wow.
I'll tell you.
That's
yes,
a hell of a
everything,
tease.
Everything. I'll tell you how to find the answer. Tommy John, that's the answer. Boy, I had a breakthrough with Tommy John last night about literally a breakthrough. A little chub in the middle of the night, but I had this thought, which is I tend to sleep in like the gym trunks.
Okay.
I tend just to pull up the trunks and that is all.
No, like those loose nylon.
No Tommy John. Yeah, big baggy kind of basketball trunks. And the reason I tend to sleep in those is I've had way too many middle of the night wake ups with the dog throwing up or the kids having a nightmare or something to just have the boner
stroll
and be naked or whatever, or the undies with the pronounced
panties.
Package and whatnot. So I tend to sleep in the shorts.
Sure.
Above average dong.
That's true. But last night I had a revelation, a Tommy John breakthrough, which was the gym trunks swim around a little. They tend to spin.
Sponge.
They'll spin about 80 degrees on you and get a little sideways. And as you toss and turn,
they're like, no way, we're staying here.
Yeah, we're staying here. So there's a lot of like, it's like someone took a hat, put it on you and turned it to 9 o'clock or something. And it feels weird.
Yeah.
And I started to experience it. Last night, I did the Tommy Johns.
Oh.
I just went to bed with my Tommy John midways there and they just hugged every curve,
they
and every time I flipped over and moved around, they were right there.
Yeah.
They had my back and most of my front.
Backside.
That's right. Underwear. Tommy John never rides up. Waistbands that never roll down. Wedgie proof. Plus socks that never fall down. Undershirts that stay tucked in. Second skin tees, wrinkle resistant, never shrink. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
The revelation that I'm about to share with you.
The answer to everything.
The answer to everything. Part of it is my theory of extremes to know what works aesthetically, what works, what have you. So if you go, well, let's just take the aesthetic of a woman.
All right.
You go, I know nothing about the aesthetic of a woman. What do we look for? And you go, well, how about very small eyes and a huge nose?
Okay.
And you go, okay, I don't think that little itty bitty
like
beady eyes and a huge schnoz.
Yeah.
I don't consider that attractive. Okay, well, if you don't consider that attractive, then what is attractive? And you go, I don't know. Well, I do know. The opposite.
Gigantic eyes, no nose.
Yes.
Yeah. Nope. Noseless.
Emma Stone has a very small nose and very big eyes and is considered very attractive.
Yeah.
And then you go, all right, well, what else would you like? Well, like a huge rear end and no bust at all. Just completely flat-chested with a huge, massive ass. And you go, all right, not what I'm looking for.
Mega, I assume. Oh,
so
Ryan.
I would like a little more up top and to shrink the ass. Now, that's not saying zero ass, like it's not saying zero nose. I'm just saying
a nice, proper.
If a car.
Yeah, proportion.
If I've said all the time, if a sports car looks good because it has a big, wide tire in the back and a slightly smaller one in the front, picture the same car with a big, fat, wide tire in front and a skinny tire in back. Like, it wouldn't look good. So you may find your answer through the opposite. Mm. You go, all right. Miniature eyes and a huge nose, not good. All right. The opposite is a small nose and big eyes. Okay. That's my answer. And you can find that answer in what you're looking for throughout life. Just go the opposite of what you want. So here's the breakthrough. If in every parent, most parents are aware that having big arguments in front of their kids where the guy just keeps screaming whore at the top of his lungs and she yells pencil dick back at him. If that's not something you'd like to expose.
Above average dong.
That's right. If that's not something you would like to expose your children to, and I think we can all agree that we don't want to expose our children.
No.
What is the opposite of that?
Keeping the peace in front of the kids.
No, that's not the opposite.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, okay,
keeping
okay.
The peace is the middle.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on, Gina.
Overabundance of love.
I didn't come from a super functional family.
No, but keeping the peace is the middle ground.
Yeah.
That's
showing
average size nose and average size eyes.
Grudging acceptance. Gritting your teeth and putting up the other person.
Tolerating each other in front
of
the kids.
20 minutes
minimal
I was going
tolerance.
Down that road,
no,
Gina.
No. Sorry, I understand. Showing
the
love.
The opposite.
Effusive love in front of the
is
family.
Is over the top, me standing by the front door going, they're home! They're home! Everybody, they're home! Tell the newspapers, ring the bells from the top of the hill. And then they come in and I go, hug it out, hug it out. And then I do a little shadow boxing. Go, why not? Because it's the opposite.
We cut to the kids. Like, what's wrong with Dad?
He's
it's
going
the,
manic again.
It's the opposite of what you don't want your kids to see.
Right.
Always go the opposite.
I get
That's
it
all.
Now.
You got it now?
Yeah,
tread
I do,
water.
I do.
Toe the line. Right down the middle. No smiles, no frowns.
Stay neutral.
All right. Let's see. Well, we got the TiVo game, but we also have March Madness.
Yeah. Mm. The winners from round one.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's do March Madness. Yeah. We'll put the TiVo game on the back burner for now, and we'll do the winners from. Now, we're putting them up, and you guys are voting online, or how are we doing this?
Dawson will explain.
March Madness is in full swing here at the Adam Carolla Show. Welcome to the Sweet 16. All week long, we'll be profiling Gina's potential suitors and asking you, the listeners, to decide who moves on. All you have to do is go online and vote. Today, Gina's going to get her first look at four of the 16 remaining contestants. Will it be love at first sight? Or will Gina ask us to stop doing this bit? Representing the Dudes with Dogs Conference, Theo and Jake.
This is my first look at these guys.
These are the guys we picked.
These sexy guys, cute dogs.
Big cuffs.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Big cuffs.
Oh, big cuffs. Oh, that's
cuffs.
The Los Feliz guy. Okay.
That's Jake.
Both very attractive men.
Mm-hmm.
And patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
Who will come out as top dog? That'll be up to you. And representing the AARP conference, Jacob and Rodrigo.
Damn! That's Jacob and Rodrigo?
I like both these gentlemen.
Jacob was the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy.
That's right.
And Rodrigo was from the family man
with the doting kids.
He was a lawyer, like the cook. Although, can
Damn,
I say this about
hot.
The term chef? It's getting thrown around quite liberally these days.
You better be telling people what to do if you're the chef.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Just
you better be wearing some weird gardening clogs and yelling at Mexicans. Because now every guy who is every guy who's done plated or, you know, every guy's a chef now.
Sure.
Every guy's a chef.
Sure.
I think they're doing it to get laid, but go ahead. Sorry.
It helps.
Whose pacemaker's getting unplugged?
Oh, man.
You tell us. Head to our Facebook page and see the guys for yourself. Be sure to leave your vote in the comments. After all, when you're dating someone new, it's important what your friends think.
Question. I was a quick question for Chris. On the Facebook page, will there be any more information other than just their name or picture? Are we just voting on the looks? Is there a profile?
Well, we've talked about them.
We know, but we'll put some more information on too.
So far, all very cute.
So we'll be back tomorrow with four more guys. Woo! And the next round of March Gradness.
I gotta say, I'm bizarrely jealous of this entire endeavor.
Gina,
you've never experienced this before?
No. Oh. This week, by the way, Jimmy O. Yang, one of our friends from Silicon Valley, is coming in. Judd Apatow, David Crosby as well.
God.
All right. Dawson is pumped for David Crosby.
Very excited.
I'm excited as well. All right, let me tell you about Marcia Clark Investigates, The First 48.
Yes.
I know Gina's very excited this as well. It's a new original docuseries. It premieres this Thursday, March 29th, 9 p.m. on A&E. Marcia Clark delves into some of America's most shocking unsolved crimes and controversial verdicts. Each 2-hour episode explores a different investigation, taking an in-depth first 48 hours look at the crime to uncover revelations and new angles. Controversial murder cases include Casey Anthony's daughter, Kaylee. There's Chandra Levy. That's an incredible story. Robert Blake's wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley. That's one of those cases, by the way, the Bonnie Lee one, which is, if people don't feel sorry for you, for the victim, I don't know why, but it impedes justice
a bit.
Like, oh, that person was killed. Yeah, but she wasn't so awesome.
Yeah, she wasn't likable.
Yeah, my feeling is just focus on whether this guy did that to her or not, and not whether you personally.
Yeah, sure. Just the facts.
Just the facts, because she wasn't a delight. Anyway, Run DMC's Jam Master Jay and Drew Peterson's wife, Stacy. So all Thursday, March 29th at 9 p.m. on A&E. All right, we will... couple things. Madison, Capitol Theater, April 6th. That is the one-man show. That's going to sell out, so we'll see in Madison. And then Santa Ana Esports Arena, April 21st. That is the live podcast. A few live ones we do. Aladdin Theater, June 9th. One-man show. We're showing up with the cameras, and we're filming them. So come on out and see that. That'll be exciting. Moore Theater. Historic Moore Theater. That is September 13th. We'll do a live podcast there. So come check that out. And then join us on the cruise right after that. You can book your trip at adamcarolla.com. New rooms added, and this is the real deal cruise. Oh, man. It's got the rock wall. It's got the wakeboarding. It's got the Chinese restaurant.
Sushi
restaurant. Ice skating rink. Steakhouse. So we're going to be living it up. All right. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll do some good sports. We'll be right back after this.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Here is the case against Scott Peterson. He was cheating on his pregnant wife with a woman in Fresno when his wife disappeared. He had seen this woman a total of 4 times. He lied to the woman about having a wife, and he lied to the police about his affair. 4 months later, the body of his wife washed up in a marina near where Scott had told the police he had gone fishing the day she disappeared. That is the case against Scott Peterson. Period.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and adamcarolla.com.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Broadcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to another week of sports action here on Podcast One Sports with Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, how are we this week? Football season is always going because of free agency. The draft is nigh. College basketball is going down right now. Hockey, NBA, the playoffs are nigh there. It's exciting.
I would like to expose a mark that was left on my body by another individual.
A mark?
A mark that was left on my body. And you tell me, Sheck, we will photograph this. I wasn't planning on going down this road, and we'll toss it up on the website so you may, may take a look at it.
I like that 2 seconds into the week of sports talk, you've been inspired to reveal a mark.
I had no... thoughts or concepts about sharing this with you, but you asked me how it was going, and then you talk about sports, and I will set the table by saying somebody decided it would be fun to start the old man league at the local high school basketball auditorium, because all the sons play together in their basketball league, and Sonny's one of them. And then what about the dads? The dads used to play. They like to have fun. And so somebody said, hey, we'll do the dads league, which is fine. The problem with the
Ace
dads
is patented 15-foot pull-up. He loves that elbow. Loves to get it right there.
The problem with the dads league is there's always a couple of guys showing up in their 30s who aren't in dads league age. And then the other thing is they're the dads, and there's only a couple of these guys, but the guys who cannot control their own body, they just, when they're guarding you, they're just ramming you, like just ramming, and then you're like, look, my back is to the hoop, I'm 14 feet out, I'm dribbling the ball, do you have to be hip checking me? Like, this is just it's an old man pickup game. What's with the hip checking? Like, I get the part where your hands up. I get the part where you're taking the game seriously. I get the part where you're trying to be competitive and you're trying to get the best shot off or find the open man or run the plays, set a pick, what have you. But the part where you just keep hitting me as one dad to another, what is that? There's always two of those guys, and it's like
they completely agree with the over-aggressive defense in a pickup basketball game.
They can't seem these guys are the guy. I'll tell you who they are. They're the indicators. They're the guys who in the softball game, instead of playing left field, when the female receptionist comes up for the law firm, they walk right up to the back of the outfield, right back to the back of the infield. Instead of playing outfield, they're now essentially become another shortstop because they know she doesn't have enough power. When she then hits one off the handle and tries to leg it out, they field it, throw it to first. It's a tie, but they go nuts about how she's out.
Hero.
And the other one, too, is when she then runs past first base and turns left and starts walking back to first, and they tag her on the head real hard with the softball and go, you're out. You're out. And she goes, I'm from Switzerland. I've never played. And yes, I know. You turn right. You didn't turn left.
I feel you're describing several of the softball games we've played.
No, I am. It drives me nuts. So the same guy in basketball, his tell is he does not let you inbound the ball without going nuts.
This guy is the one, but he's also half court. He checks you from 29 feet from the basket. You don't even have the ball. You're right. Standing way far away, and this guy is right in your face. Like, man, I'm probably not going to decimate your team here from this spot on the floor. You can lighten up a little bit,
friend. Also, it's the half court inbound thing. Just let him inbound the ball. Let him inbound the ball. We can get on with it. You don't have to die for it.
So what's this mark?
All right. I shall show you.
Wonder why you're doing this. Wonder if mark as a name or mark as a injury was first. Because it'd be weird if somebody decided, let's name our masculine son after a black and blue mark. Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
Sweet Jesus, man.
I know.
What happened?
I don't know.
That's outrageous.
Outrageous.
From a pickup basketball game. Shame the devil. Lighten up a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. I was just playing, and we played a few games. I got a little competitive. And again, I get the guys that are banging into me the entire time. And the next day, I step out of the shower in the morning, spot myself in the mirror, and
that is crazy giant, how giant that one is.
Giant black and blue mark on my left upper arm.
Zealots ruin everything. Yeah. I mean, that's my recurring theme. And, you know, you don't want the guy who isn't trying. Or, you know, Ray, he was one end of the spectrum. He would go out and literally play in flip-flops. It's emasculating to be playing against a guy who's better than you while he's wearing his flip-flops and holding a Guinness in one hand. And he still is better than a couple of the guys out there.
He would play barefoot as well.
That's one end of the spectrum. But then on the other end of the spectrum, I guess, well, Hench isn't that annoying a defender. But our pal Hench, on the other hand, is the guy who... his aggro ways reveal themselves with his teammates, not with the foes. He doesn't over-defend them. He yells at you in a meaningless pickup game. Damish XC's fit has the temerity to take a shot when it's 20-19 and we're playing to 21. If I dare shoot it and the great Hench is on my team, he'll scold me. He'll humiliate me in front of our friends by saying, oh, good idea. I've scored 18 points this game. Sheck, you're one for five shots. That's a good strategy there. Good strategy, Sheck, taking the shot there. What a creep. What are we getting if we win this game? Here's what you get right now, Hench. You're a jerk! Thank you.
All right, I'll tell you guys about BetDSI. Speaking of hoops, March Madness, man, well underway. Go to BetDSI and check out all the matchups at BetDSI, the best online sports book. 20 plus years of top rated reviews, easy to use, built their reputation on fast payments of winnings. Great customer service available 24/7. That's right, 24/7, 365, everybody. No idea what Dylan's done over there. Doesn't matter. Live in-game wagering options now and throughout the tournament. Make plays throughout the entire game. And
in a bet. That's what he's doing.
I love that about Dylan. $25 worth of a NCAA tournament bet you can receive just for registering. Plus, you get 200% member bonus on your first deposit by using promo code GOODMADNESS. That's Good Madness. So you're going to be playing. You're going to be watching. You're going to be wagering. Let's go with BetDSI. Don't sit on the sidelines this March Madness. Use the promo code GOODMADNESS and get started with that winning today.
Yeah, that's well. Don't be on the sidelines and not be involved in March Madness like Sean Miller and the Arizona Wildcats. Ooh, that was too soon, Gary. I'm sorry about that, Gary. I know you're still emotionally wounded from what happened to the Wildcats, not just in the tournament, but all season long.
It's been a long road.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Ace, we got to talk some NFL free agency. We'll do that on tomorrow's Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports, Good Sports, out! Good
Sports! Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
The reason the book is called and the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material, at the Capitol Theater on April 6th.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
Not Taco Bell Material.
Where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Not Taco Bell Material. Don't miss Adam Carolla at the Capitol Theater in Madison on April 6th. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.